Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How are you, Mr. Hall of Famer? That's right. We have a Hall of Famer. One of the great managers in the history of baseball is with me right now, Tony La Russa. Mr. La Russa, thank you very much for joining me. How are you?
Is my dad here?
I'm sorry.
Tony, please.
I want to show respect because you are, in this day and age in which they are killing off the manager, you are the guy I think of when I think of the tactician back in the day, that manager, a manager's manager. Is that appropriate? Do you think that's an appropriate?
Well, it was appropriate. I mean, it was so hard for me to write Albert Pujols into that third spot and give the ball to Chris Carpenter or Darryl. I mean, it was a lot of tactics involved there.
Stop it. Did you enjoy, because, you know, you're one of those guys who had great success in both leagues. Did you have a preference on managing in one league as compared to the other?
Yes, but I want to qualify it first.
Because
I prefer the National League.
Yes.
In fact, a mentor to just about every young manager in our time was Sparky. He was so open. He'd give you anything. You ask him a quick, he'd give it to you.
Right.
And he told me once he knew I was around American League 16 years, he said, before you retire, you ought to go to the National League because he knows I love the game. But the qualifier is this. Don't ever take me liking the National League style better, disrespecting American League managers, because that's a really hard league to manage in, because every time they take you play defense, you're worried about a three-run crooked number.
Sure.
And the games are longer, and it's excruciating. So managing American League is tough. But I love the game, and in the National League, you see everything possible. In American League, there's a lot of stuff that you never see.
As a fan, we always try to manage along. It's certainly a lot easier when you're sitting at home, you know, as compared to being in the dugout. But it feels like in the American League, you take a pitcher out when they're ready to come out. Sometimes in the National League, the decision's made for you, right? Bases loaded, one out, seventh inning tie game. Hey, I got to pinch hit. I got to go for it. Did that make it difficult in a way that in the American League, you literally decided based on, okay, he's time to come out?
Well, you're one of the few people that says that, and I had heard that, I learned it. I think it's actually harder to run a pitching staff in the American League.
Because of that?
Because every decision you make is based on who you think should face the next hitter.
Right.
And there are a lot of times you got a really, really close call, right? Well, in the National League, when you're every once in a while, oh, the guy's coming to bat, and I got to pinch hit for him. That decision is always one you have to make. But the National League, there's you got to play for a run a lot of times, make a run, save a run. So, you know, sometimes you bunt with one guy. Like nowadays, I'm so upset with all the statistical thing that says you should never try to steal. You don't want to bunt. You know, strikeouts don't count, RBIs don't count. I mean, it's nonsense. There's days that you got really good pitching and you sit around waiting for a home run. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I like the National League, but the casual fan seems to like the offense. So. Whatever the fans like, I like.
Well, I'll tell you, as a fan, I love the pitcher hitting, and it feels as if there's a move towards the DH coming to the National League, which, just for me personally as a fan, I'd hate. I like the differences between the leagues. I know interleague play every day, I guess, makes it more difficult, but the differences, I think, make it cool that the AL and the NL can be so different.
I hear a lot of noise, and you know, people that I've talked to with MLB and different owners, the National League owners are general managers, you know, they're going to be really difficult to get off the pitcher as part of the game.
Good.
I actually like, fans are more and more talking about in interleague play that you have, if you play in an American League park, you play the National League rules. Hmm. So they get a chance to see what the pitcher looks like. And if you play in a National League park, you can get the DH. So
yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. We're talking to Tony La Russa. You mentioned putting Albert Pujols in the lineup. He's still going. Hit another home run last night. He's creeping up the home run list. When you saw him in spring training, thinking it was 2001, somewhere around there, what'd you think? Did you look at him and say, he could be one of the greats of all time?
No, you know, nobody can have a crystal ball like that. All I know is he was supposed to go from A ball to AAA.
Right.
And he looked so good that you kept testing him and he kept passing every test. We knew he was going to be really good. Did we know he was going to be a rookie year, hit, you know, 330, whatever he hit, you know, every year for 11 years. Mostly, one of the testaments to how great he is that you have some success, you get a little lazy, you're not as hungry, especially if you start making money.
Right.
Albert every year is hungrier than the year before. He's absolutely perfect as far as a teammate, plays the game correctly, respects the opposition, every part of it. Just a great man.
Even though you guys lost the series, that home run he hit off Brad Lidge in Game 5 in Houston, as they said, they're all pumped up. They think they won it. They think they won the pennant. That may be one of the most majestic home runs as a fan watching as it came off the bat. What do you think in that situation as he came up?
Well, when he came up, I mean, we had two outs and nobody on.
Right. And then somebody got on with like an infield hit, I think.
Eckstein worked a walk.
That was it. Okay.
And then Edmonds got an infield hit.
Okay. All right.
So here comes Albert. When you got two outs and nobody on, now you're thinking you got to go to the press conference and explain how we got beat after being in the World Series the year before and get beat by the Red Sox. And it starts going. And then when you see Albert on deck, you think, you know, if he gets the bat, we got a shot. And the thing that I remember the most is something that Albert talks about, because that time you only had the bees just like buzzing all over the place. Was that when he hit that home run, it was absolute silence, like somebody hit mute.
Yes.
And he says as he ran around the bases, all he could hear was his feet hitting the dirt. That's how quiet it got there.
It was. I'll admit, I wasn't rooting for your team. I'm a Met fan. The Cardinals, you know, you guys are always so successful. He hit that home run just as a baseball fan. I was giddy because it was just so cool, because I remember that. I call it an eerie silence as he's running around the bases. And poor Brad Lidge. I mean, luckily for them, they bounced back. They won the series. You know, they got to the World Series, though they didn't do much. But that was just a baseball fan. It was one of those epic moments, though. 2006, I don't like to think about.
Yeah, I was thinking you probably enjoyed Yadi Molina's home run.
No,
too.
I didn't. Oh, my God. That was unbelievable. How was Jeff Suppan so locked in during that series? He looked like one of the best pitchers in baseball during that series.
You know, he had an amazing career with us. In 2004, while the Red Sox and the Yankees were having that historic comeback, we were playing the Astros. And it was a great series. You know, the home team won every time. And we got to Game 7, and it's Suppan against Clemens. We got into Game 7 in 2006. It was Perez against Suppan. He was a very cool customer, and the nice thing about it was that, you know, we had Dave Duncan, and we had Yadi Molina, and they came up with a game plan, and Soup could follow the plan. I mean, he was impervious to pressure, even when they had that, you know, Scott made that error, and then bases were loaded, and he got out of it. He is truly a pitch maker. He never got carried away with the moment.
That game is still very vivid in my memory. And that error, because Scott Rowland's one of the great defensive third basemen you'll ever see. He makes a throwing error, if I'm not mistaken. And the Mets had Valentin and Endy Chavez with a chance to score a run. When the Mets didn't score that inning, I'm thinking, my God, they're going to waste the Endy Chavez catch. What'd you think about on that catch? Because I think that the way that stadium rocked, everybody in that building figured the Mets are going to win the pennant. As an opposing manager, when it looks like that's a big home run against Oliver Perez, and Endy brings it back, what's going through your mind?
Well, you know, the first two-thirds of the game, you just know that you just got to tough it out. You know, if you get something going, keep going. If they get hit, you know, keep fighting back. But when you get to the seventh, usually the monumental play is the difference maker. And for that, I think that would have been like a three-run homer.
Yeah.
So when that went against us, I thought, you know, this is one that, I mean, that catch was amazing.
Yeah.
You think that history is going to talk about this as being the thing that got them to the World Series, but you fight it off. I mean, internally you think that because you're a fan.
Sure.
But then you say, well, let's keep working because you never know, and it worked out.
Yeah, now it's just a footnote, unfortunately. We're talking to the great Tony La Russa. You know, you hit on one thing I know that bothers me as a fan. It's the strikeout not mattering anymore, and I think it's hurting the game because not only do you guys strike out a million times, but it seems like players aren't embarrassed by striking out. How can we change that? Is it possible to change that direction the sport is going with that?
Absolutely. You just got to think about what's the most entertaining game. And three times you swing and you don't make contact, and every hitting situation that you practice in spring training, and one of them, the strikeout's a good play. So what you do is, you know, you don't take anything away from the first two swings. You try to launch. Well, you get two strikes. You go into an approach. In fact, the gentleman that runs this tournament, Joe Torre, had one of the best two-strike approaches way back in 1970-71.
Right.
And you can teach what Joe taught. And that's what we did All my 30 years, we had a two-strike approach. You can check it. We didn't strike out. Albert Pujols, this may be the first year he strikes out over 100 times.
That's amazing for him. He was always a guy that would keep his strikeouts down compared to everybody else.
My point is we're crying about lack of action.
Right.
And the biggest culprit, I just watched the Dodgers and the Phillies play 16 innings, and they were like 16 strikeouts.
I know. Yeah.
Everybody swinging from their butt. In fact, when Jim Leland's coming pretty soon, you get Jim up here, and you ask him about, the current thing is, swing from your butt, see if you can hit home run, play for crooked numbers. They devalue the little ball that sometimes against good pitching, you better try and get a single, move them around, get them in. Ask Jim about, I just don't believe in that RBIs are important. You're going to see his Irish eyes just go crazy. Because guys that drive in runs are special. There's a special knack to it. And that's another one of the things that's been disrespected. So to me, it's metrics are great, very, very useful. But the old school part about, why has David Eckstein got two rings? Because his heart is big and guts are big. And you got to play the game with heart and soul and intelligence.
No, I'm with you on that. We're talking to the Hall of Famer, Tony La Russa. What do you think about, and the Rays have used it a lot this year, this strategy of an opener, a guy pitching an inning or two, and then the cavalcade coming out of the bullpen. It's worked for them. It's amazing. Statistically, it's been effective. What do you think of that kind of strategy?
Well, it's something you do, and I think, Ron Cash is manager of the year at this point. Maybe closely along with Alec Cora. But you only do that in a situation where you have no starting pitcher that day. And if you do that over the course of the season, you're going to burn out your pin.
Right.
And here's the other thing that, so people are talking now, John, just about a bullpen game, but they're also talking about, with the third time through the lineup, you got to get the guy out because the numbers say this and that. Well, once you entrust the game to your bullpen, if one reliever has a bad day, you lose. If the other sides are pitching good. If you have a good starter and he gets you into the seventh or eighth inning, and that's the most certain way to win, whether it's every day during the season or the postseason. So the reason that Terry Francona did it a couple years ago, all he had was Kluber.
Right.
Everybody else was a young guy, and you couldn't. And when if they started to get a little shaky, bang, he got them, and it works. But if you have a legitimate starting rotation, two or three deep, best chance to win is to have them get you into the last third of the game.
Oh, yeah. When you could have a Chris Sale or a DeGrom or a Scherzer, they give you the best chance to win, no doubt about it. I remember, I don't know which specific year, because you and the Astros had a great rivalry. It's kind of stinks now that they're in a different league. It was one year in which it was a great race, but both teams were going to make the playoffs, and so there really wasn't a Central Division race. The Yankees and Red Sox had that many times. Do you like the fact that these races matter now with this whole, hey, doesn't matter if you win 100 games, if you're in second place, you got to play this wild card game. Do you like that?
Well, you remember when Commissioner Selig put that 14-man committee? It was four managers. Three of them are going to be here today, and that is Leland, Torrey, myself, and Mike Socia. Four general managers, four owners, Frank Robinson and George Will.
Okay.
And actually, it was a really good mix because the owner had an opinion, front office guy had an opinion, and the other guy, the managers, have the uniform experience. A bunch of really good stuff happened. One of the things that came up was that the way the wild card was set up there, it devalued winning the division.
No doubt, yep.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
Just like right now everybody's talking about the Yankees and the Red Sox. Well, if you got to the last week or so, you would, how many times did the wild card win a championship? A bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
All you do is you play some road games.
It's not a big deal.
Not a big deal. So the whole point of it was to get the drama back and win. And the only way you do that now is to win the division. And if you lose, you play that one and out. Well, or one and in. I remember when it first came up, there was a couple of guys on one team said, hey, we don't like this. Well, then say, we'll pass and let the other team play. Win the division.
Yeah, right.
So there's a lot of talk this year because there's a good chance that two teams, the Red Sox and the Yankees, win 100 games. And one of them is going to play a one and in or one and out game. So I think it makes a lot better sense. And by the way, my boss, Mr. Dombrowski, disagrees with this. So I said, David, okay, do I get fired if I tell you that? I was on a committee that made that happen. Joe was very, motivated. Well, that's not the right word. He's very passionate because he was one of the guys that really spoke up about let's make the division win count and get something worthwhile.
Yeah.
And now you get the extra wild card, and it's tough luck.
I'm curious. So were you the manager specifically, you, Jimmy Leland, Joe Torre, Socia, were you guys all liking this idea? Were you in favor of it, or was it split a little bit?
No, I think everybody was in favor of giving the division winner
right.
something that was unique and special, which was an edge.
Yeah.
So that the wild card team really wasn't being penalized.
Right.
So don't get into the last week and neither team really cared if you won or not.
Oh, yeah. We saw it. I mean, I don't remember. You'd remember better than I did, but I think you guys and the Astros finished tied one year or something like that. And I don't even remember who won it. Who cares, right? One's a wild card, one's a division winner. Yankees and Red Sox had that in 05. They finished tied. Who cares? So I'll tell you, as a fan, I think it's great. Is it the fairest thing in the world? Well, look, any division situation isn't the fairest. If we want to go be fair, we can go pre-1969, just put the two teams with the best record in the World Series. If we're talking about fairness, but we haven't had that in decades. So,
well, I remember that there's a lot of talk from the day one that they should that first wild card playoffs should be best of three.
Right.
But the argument there is that means that the division teams sitting around are waiting.
Right, right, right.
They get 5-6 days off, and that's not fair to them. So it's just, hey, man, it's like the NCAA playoffs. You're good enough, you win.
Hey, I love it, man. And I'm a fan of the Mets. They lost a wild card game a couple of years ago in their own building. So it happens. Win the division then. I'm totally with you. And I thank you now for being a big contributor to making that happen. Because as a baseball fan, I think it's been great over the last 6 years.
Well, when Mr. Dombrowski fires me because...
He better not fire you. You guys are going to win 110 games.
Well, I just up there watching and enjoying it. We got a good team, really
good
team.
You got a great team, man. Hey, it's unbelievable. Mookie Betts, we're talking about guys not striking out. How about him? That guy never strikes out. It's a beautiful thing.
JD's 300 hitter. I mean, there's a right way. Let me just say this. There's a lot of distractions to hitters, a lot of misconceptions. I mean, it's really hard to be a hitting coach now. Hitters launching for as long as I can remember, I signed at 62.
Right.
You want to get the ball in the air because in the air is extra base hits. And if you're strong enough, a bomb. The only ground ball that's an extra base hit is down the line.
Right.
Okay? Most of the time. So the difference is getting the ball in the air the right way or the wrong way. Most of the guys trying to get the ball in the air the wrong way. They're dropping their shoulder. They're pulling off right. the ball. You watch the guys that are really good. You watch JD, you watch Betts, you watch Arenado. There's a bunch of them. They stay on it, and they get through it. These hitters that know how to hit, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way. And what we need to do is get back to the right way for two strikes, and once you get to the second strike, go to your emergency, put the ball in play.
Amen. You're the best. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. The great Tony La Russa, the Hall of Famer. We're live from the Joe Torre Save at Home Foundation Golf and Tennis event. We got more coming up next. Thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.